Good evening, everyone. It's good to see all of you here with us today. I am excited to see many of you are taking the time to seek the Lord and to meditate on His Word and to pray. And I do believe that God is working both in the midst of our challenges and our comfort. So let's remember that God is with us, and our trials, our challenges are not a sign of God's absence. He is here with us. And He is sovereign, He is good, and we can trust Him, and we can look to Him for guidance and direction. So today we will look at how David looks to God, looks at the Lord for guidance, for direction, and trusting God in the midst of his own difficult situation. So the text is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 to 29, and the title of the sermon is Discernment and Trust. So before that, just to recap, background of what's happening. So Saul has stopped obeying God, and he wants to kill David out of arrogance and out of jealousy, because he wanted to secure his own position and power as a king. So David now is on the run. So in desperation to save himself, he even ran to the enemy's city, a Philistine city. And in order to survive it there, he had to act insane so that the king would not kill him. So, and later on, he had to also seek refuge from the king of Moab for the safety of his family. And then on the other side, Saul has been acting very wickedly towards David and even everyone that is connected to David. So in the previous chapter, we saw that Saul murdered almost all the priests in Nob because David had been there and David had a connection with the people there. So in today's text, Saul continues to pursue David. And as David continues to run for his life, he seeks the Lord. He learns to listen. He learns to obey the Lord's direction. So let's look at the text. May I ask Sister D to read for us, please?
Did you say me?
No, Sister D. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
When David was told, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are looting the threshing floors," he inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" The Lord answered him, "Go, attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Here in Judah, we are afraid. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces?" Once again, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, "Go down to Keilah, for I'm going to give the Philistines into your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah, fought the Philistines, and carried off their livestock. He inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines and saved the people of Keilah. Now Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, had brought the ephod down with him when he fled to David at Keilah. Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah, and he said, "God has delivered him into my hands, for David has imprisoned himself by entering a town with gates and bars." And Saul called up all his forces for battle to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David learned that Saul was plotting against him, he said to Abiathar, the priest, "Bring the ephod." David said, "Lord, God of Israel, your servant has heard definitely that Saul plans to come to Keilah and destroy the town on account of me. Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me to him? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? Lord, God of Israel, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will." Again, David asked, "Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will." So David and his men, about 600 in number, left Keilah and kept moving from place to place. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he did not go there. David stayed in the wilderness strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life, and Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Koresh and helped him find strength in God. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. The Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah and said, "Is not David hiding among us in the stronghold of Horesh on the hill of Hakilah, south of Jeshimon? Now, your majesty, come down whenever it pleases you to do so, and we will be responsible for giving him into your hands." Saul replied, "The Lord bless you for your concern for me. Go and get more information. Find out where David usually goes and who has seen him there. They tell me he's very crafty. Find out about all the hiding places he uses and come back to me with definite information. Then I will go with you. If he is in the area, I will track him down among all the clans of Judah." So they set out and went to Ziph ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the desert of Maon, in the Arabah, south of Jeshimon. Saul and his men began the search, and when David was told about it, he went down to the rock and stayed in the desert of Maon. When Saul heard this, he went into the desert of Maon in pursuit of David. Saul was going along one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side, hurrying to get away from Saul. As Saul and his forces were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger came to Saul saying, "Come quickly, the Philistines are raiding the land." Then Saul broke off his pursuit of David and went to meet the Philistines. That is why they call this place Selah Hamalekoth. And David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi.
Thanks, Sister Dee. So let's just pray before we continue. Father, we want to thank you that you are with us. We want to thank you that your presence is with us and the Holy Spirit is dwelling among us. And we know, Lord, that as we look to you, you will never abandon us in our challenges, God. Lord, we just pray that you help us understand this and what your presence means, Lord. Help us learn to depend on you, to put our trust in you. Break our stubborn hearts, Lord. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as we read this passage, we see that David is constantly seeking the Lord. So in verses 2 and 4, David seeks the Lord before he attacks the Philistines in Keilah. And then in verses 9, 11, and 12, David seeks the Lord for direction when he found out that Saul was coming to Keilah for him. So David trusted the Lord. When we look at his relationship with God, he has learned to look to God in all of his circumstances, and God has never failed to direct him as well. So now that David is in a difficult situation again, he continued to consult God before he did anything. So he wanted to know God's direction for him. He understood that only God can deliver him. Only God can help him. So he came to this important realization that God is with him regardless of his circumstances, and God will direct and guide him in all things. So here, when we see the questions that David asks, it's very specific. He wants to know, he wants God to direct his every single step, because at this point, he knows that he must fully depend on God. And in fact, not too long ago, we read the previous chapter last week. He knows how Saul has put 85 priests and their family to death. He knows the cruelty and wickedness of the enemy, Saul. And he knows the danger that he is in. And he knows the danger that he is bringing to the people around him as well. So he knew that only God can deliver him in this situation. And why he continuously seeks God is because he knew God was always with him. So scripture tells us that the Lord was with David, and even the people around him could see that. So in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And in verse 18, one of the servants answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man. And the Lord is with him." And in chapter 18, verses 12 and verses 14, verse 14 says, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but had departed from Saul. In everything that he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. So David acknowledges that God was with him, that God's presence was with him, and he recognizes that when God is there, it means that God is there to guide and lead him. So when he faces opposition, he understood that it doesn't mean that God has abandoned him or God is away or God is not listening to him. And when we read his prayers in the Psalms, he actually recognized that both the righteous and the wicked face trials. The only difference is the wicked will perish without hope, while the righteous has hope in the Lord. So he understood that the challenges that he faced is not because of the absence of God, but it is actually a result of the evil that is happening around. So there is opposition, but he knew that God has a plan for him, a path for him that God is leading him through. And when we look at Jesus and the early church as well, Jesus himself faced opposition in his ministry. There were people who followed him, but there were many who did not believe, who questioned, who challenged, and even plotted his murder. But Jesus was not shaken by the opposition. He was not giving in to what they demand, because he knew specifically what he came to do, his purpose. And he knew very well that the Father was with him. And the early church is the same as well. They faced the same opposition. They were persecuted, they were martyred, but they knew very well that God was with them, and they were not afraid to continue to witness for the Lord. So the presence of God makes a massive difference when we experience God for who he is, when we know God for who he is. And that is why Jesus, when he is called Emmanuel, God with us, it brings such a good news to those who know God. So there are forces that will come against the people of God. There will be spiritual warfare when we choose to follow, when we choose to obey God. But the Lord is with us. He will not leave us, he will not forsake us, and he will lead and guide us. So and as David depends on and he trusts in God's direction, God brought deliverance to David. So he obeyed the Lord in attacking the Philistines in Keilah, and he defeated them. And then when he consulted the Lord again, David went away from Keilah because Saul is coming, and God kept Saul from finding him. So, and then we know when finally Saul was closing, when he was close to David, he was coming close, God rescued David through distracting Saul with the Philistines. And even in the next chapter, next week, we will even see that David gets the upper hand over Saul, but he still discerned what the Lord's direction is, and then if he spared Saul's life. So discernment is seeking the Lord at all times, listening and obeying what he tells us, trusting and depending on the Lord for our every decision. And sadly, Saul never understood that. He was anointed, the Spirit of God came upon him, but instead of seeking the Lord, he pursued his own choices. He was arrogant and stubborn. He refused to repent even after God confronts him, and eventually the Spirit of God left him. And we know everything went downwards after that. So he was tormented by an evil spirit. He lost relationships, he lost battles, and in the end, he would lose his life. Saul missed out on the beautiful blessing of Emmanuel, of God with him, when he chooses to pursue his own desires. And that is such an important warning for us, because we know that God is with us. But we may continue to pursue our selfish desires. We may continue to be stubborn in our ways, and we may miss out on the blessings of God's presence and guidance. And in doing that, we are on the way to destructions. So God is with us, and we must learn to look to God. We must learn to depend on and to trust in the Lord. And not only God was with David, but God also knew how challenging it was for David. So he sends people to minister to David. So in the previous chapter, Saul tried to kill all the priests in Nob, but one of them escaped and he came to David. So verse 6, it says, "Now Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, had brought the ephod down with him when he fled to David at Keilah." So in the midst of intense trial, God sends a priest that would come alongside David in seeking the Lord. David was on the run for his life. It was difficult. He was feeling lonely, alone. And the Lord sends him a priest to assure him of God's presence. And that was what David needed. And God ministered to him. And what was sad is Saul actually had the opportunity to seek the Lord through the priests, but he chose to kill them instead. And then the only priest who escaped went to David. So it's really amazing how God works and how he fits that pieces together. And then when we see verses 14 and 15, we see that God sends Jonathan to bring assurance and comfort. So David was on the run, he is hiding in the wilderness, and he is feeling fearful. And that is when God sends Jonathan, his best friend, to bring assurance, to bring comfort of the Lord, and to also tell him, to assure him of the Lord's plan and protection upon David. And what is interesting here is Jonathan actually says that even Saul knows of God's plan. So Saul himself knew that David will be the next king, that Saul will not be able to hurt David, but he was just too stubborn, too arrogant to repent, to obey God. He was just too prideful. And what is also incredible is while Jonathan went to David and he came back, he found David, and the author tells us clearly that day after day, Saul searched for David, but God did not allow him to find David. And this is such an irony because, and a big slap to Saul's arrogance. Because just a few verses ago in verse 7, we read, Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah, and he said, "God has delivered him into my hands." So Saul was arrogantly saying that, and while he was saying that when he was disobeying the Lord and he was wickedly plotting David's murder. So he misused the name of the Lord to fulfill his own purpose, and he claims that the Lord is blessing him. And then here, we can see that the fact is the complete opposite. God is intentionally keeping Saul away from David. And God was with David. God was protecting David, and God knew that it could be very discouraging being in constant run from the enemy. So God sends a priest, God sends a good friend to meet his needs. And God can minister to us this way as well. He ministers to us through the spiritual community that he has placed us in, the church. And he sends friends who will speak the truth to us, who will remind us of his plans for us. And he will bring people who will journey alongside us, who will pray with us, who will seek the Lord together with us. So you and I, we are not alone. God has sent his people to us to minister to us. However, there will also be opposition. So like what David is facing, when we choose to pursue God, we will face opposition. So there will be people who will make wicked plots against us. And David understood that. And in his lifetime, he faced many, many wicked plots. And one of them is here in verses 19 and 20. It says, "The Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah and said, Is not David hiding among us in the strongholds of Horesh, on the hill of Hakilah, south of Jeshimon? Now, your majesty, come down whenever it pleases you to do so, and we will be responsible for giving him into your hands. So the Ziphites are a group of people from Judah, David's own tribe. So there is no doubt that when they are telling Saul of David's whereabouts, they are actually trying to gain Saul's favor. So they took advantage of David's weakness and they use it for their own benefit. And David must have felt very betrayed by their actions, being betrayed by his own people. But that is the truth. That is the fact that there will be people who will take advantage of our suffering. There will be people who will use that for their own benefit. But like David, we can learn to look to the Lord in prayer. And Psalms 54 is a prayer that David wrote during this time. So it says in verse 1, "Save me, O God, by your name, vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a free will offering of you to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes." So David was in distress when you look at this psalm, and he cried out to the Lord. And what is beautiful about it is every time he cries out to God, God meets him, and David will receive the strength and the assurance from the Lord, and he will face the troubles. And through his prayers, he would become confident of the Lord's presence with him, the Lord's deliverance for the righteous, and the Lord's judgment on the wicked. And in fact, it was out of many of his difficult times that David wrote many, many psalms that we have today. So our prayers during difficult times can be very meaningful for our faith. Prayer is an acknowledgement of God, that God is there. And God ministers to us through our prayers. Our faith grows as we learn to trust, learn to depend on God. And just as how we read the Psalms, when we pray, when we work through our difficulties in the Lord's presence, we begin to learn that God is faithful. He is true, he is good, and he is with us. So we can trust him, we can depend on him. And in verse 24, the story continues. So they set out and went to Ziph ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the desert of Maon, in the Arabah south of Jeshimon. Saul and his men began the search. And when David was told about it, he went down to the rock and stayed in the desert of Maon. When Saul heard this, he went into the desert of Maon in pursuit of David. Saul was going along one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side, hurrying to get away from Saul. As Saul and his forces were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger came to Saul, saying, "Come quickly, the Philistines are raiding the land." Then Saul broke off his pursuit of David and went to meet the Philistines. That is why they call this place Selah Hamalekoth. And David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi. So when we read this, we see the intensity of the chase. It's like watching a movie, actually. So the enemy is getting really close, and at that nerve-wracking moment, a hero appears and saves the day. Only in this story, the hero is God, and he saved David from Saul. God used the Philistines, a pagan people, for his purpose. The Philistines became a threat, and Saul had to turn away to meet them. So God is greater than the plots of the wicked. And I think I no longer need to convince you that we too, we are not spared from challenges. we will go through difficult times. And sometimes we may even go through the great intensity that David went through, the fear, the loneliness that will toil on us. But God will prevail. He always does. He is greater. He is stronger than any giants, any challenges in our lives. And nothing is impossible with him. So he holds everything in his hands. He is calling the shots. And he is watching over our every step. And we can really take comfort in knowing that. And we can trust him for direction and guidance. And the good news is God does not abandon us to face these trials on ourselves. And all we need to do is to look at Jesus on the cross to realize that. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus took the form of a human. He identifies with us. He embraces us in our sin, in our suffering. And he himself faced opposition. He went through difficult times. He understands our struggles, our pain. And through what he did on the cross, he delivered us from our greatest enemy, our own sin. And now we are no longer slaves. We are free. And we have the presence of God, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, with us all times. And that is Emmanuel, God with us. I think we truly need to seek the Lord for direction and guidance. We are in a difficult time. It may seem that the pandemic has caused many difficulties, but it is in fact the sin of man that is causing all these problems. Men have chosen to look to other things rather than God. Men have allowed pride, arrogance to determine our choices in life. And therefore, the world is in a mess. And the only cure, the only solution to that is God himself. So let's look to the Lord. Let's learn to trust and depend on him. Let's ask God to help us to understand what it means to have his presence with us. Let us find our confidence in him to be assured that he will prevail, no matter how great the enemy seems like. He is stronger, he is greater, and he is the great judge that will bring judgment to the wicked, and he will save the righteous. So let us be the church that God uses to minister to one another. Let us know that we are not alone, because we have the Holy Spirit and we have each other. We will go into a time of prayer. I do want to encourage all of you to join us in prayer. It really doesn't matter the length of the prayer and how you pray. And how you pray in your closet, in your devotion time, is how you can pray here. And we want to encourage you to participate and join us. And you can pray for any of the items on the list, or you can pray for anything that God puts in your heart. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. God, we want to thank you, Lord, for what you have done through Jesus on the cross. We know that now we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We know that we are never left alone. And we pray, Lord, that you remind us that we can always look to you. We can look to you for comfort. We can look to you for encouragement. And we can look to you for direction and guidance. And the beauty of your presence is the assurance that you are watching over us, that you are listening, that you are directing us, God. And I pray, Lord, that you will teach us, Lord, to understand that significance of having you with us. I pray that you teach us how to be like David, how to have continuous conversations with you, God. I pray that you help us to recognize that even in challenging situations, we do not need to fear, because you are guiding us, you are leading us through, and we are still in your plan, your path, God. And we want to thank you, Lord, that you have defeated the enemy. We know, Lord, that justice will take place. We know that the righteous will be delivered, the righteous will be vindicated, and the wicked will be judged. you, Lord, are the just judge, and we can put our trust in you. And we want to also thank you, Lord, for the church, for the people that you have sent into our lives. God, I pray, Lord, that you open our hearts to receive your ministry through your people. And let us be part, Lord, of the people that would seek you together, who would journey alongside one another, who would grow together as a community. And I just pray that you will lead the church, because this is your church, God. This is your people. We pray, Lord, that you use us, Lord, to be your witnesses to the people around us, to where you have placed us, Lord, in our homes, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our schools, and even in the community that you have placed our church in, God. Help us, Lord, to reach out to the lost, to those who are seeking for the truth, to those who are needing you, God. We pray, Lord, that the church will be a place of healing, a place of restoration, a place of acceptance, a place of growth. So God, come and use us, Lord, for your glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we want to praise you. We want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you, dear Lord, that you are our strength, that you are our healer, that you are the one who comforts us, dear Lord. We look to you, Lord Father. We continue to pray for those who are not well, and we pray especially for Siyun and Jaden and Suba, that your healing hands, Lord, will be upon them, that you will continue, Lord, to restore them to full health. And more than that, dear Lord, that they will sense healing in terms of encouragement and grace and kindness, dear Lord. And even, Lord, the many people mentioned just now, Lord Father, who are going through difficult situations, dear Lord, we look to you for healing, dear Lord. We look to you for restoration. We look to you for the healing of the heart, dear Lord, that you would, they would discover that peace and joy, Lord, that comes from you, that they will find comfort, Lord, in your strength. Dear Lord, we also want to lift up David and Liz into your hands, as Liz and the children make arrangements to join David in Singapore. We want to thank you that this family can be united. And we pray, Lord Father, that as they move from here to there, that you will take care of all the details, Lord, even in this difficult situation, that you will grant mercy, that you would bless them, Lord Father, and that you continue to keep them, Lord, in your love, in your strength, in your goodness, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we just commit this family, Lord, into your hands, and we look to you, Lord Father, to continue to lead them, Lord, in this season of their lives, dear Lord. And God, we come before you. Dear Lord, we want to thank you that we can come together as a church to pray and to hear your word, dear Lord. Even as we look at your word, we want to thank you that your word brings life, brings hope, and changes us. All the stories, Lord, that we hear, Lord, the stories of people who have faced tragedy and brokenness, Lord, like Jonathan, of how he had to contend with a father like Saul, and how Abiathar had to come out of tragedy, and yet, Lord, Abiathar continued to be a priest and support David in prayer, and Jonathan chose to be a friend and sought out David to encourage him and tell him to hold on to the promises that he has in you, dear Lord. And dear God, at this moment, we want to acknowledge that's what you do for us, dear God. Through our difficulties, you make us instruments of comfort, dear Lord. Because of your presence with us, there's always a song of hope. There's always a desire to give. There's always a desire, Lord, to see, Lord, others, Lord, grow and know you and receive the blessings that come from you, dear Lord. And I pray, Lord, Father, as your church, we will seize every opportunity to do this, dear Lord. Your spirit fills us and your spirit moves us, Lord, in this way. And we pray, Lord Father, that we'll understand that wherever we are placed, Lord, in our workplace, in our homes, and all the communities that we are part of, we have a role to play. In the relationships that we are in, we have a role to play, dear Lord. And we pray that we will discern those roles, and we will be like priests and intercede for others. We will be good friends and encourage each other. We will listen. We will be excited about someone else, Lord, fulfilling their spiritual call, Lord, in your name. We'll be excited, dear Lord, of pouring out our lives, Lord, and ministering to someone else, Lord, so that they may receive strength and comfort in you, Lord. Dear God, you have poured out on us, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit. You have given us such grace, dear Lord, because we belong to your family. So we pray that we will rise, Lord, and enjoy this grace, Lord, Father, and be instruments of this grace, dear Lord, at this time, in this season, Lord, in our lives. Dear Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, that all these, what we are seeing, what we're witnessing, Lord, Father, what we understand about suffering and injustice, Lord, all this, Lord, we will come, Lord, before you, and this understanding will be an important part, Lord, of the foundations of how we are as a church, Lord, and how we minister to others, and how we see this world, dear God. Dear Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, that we will learn how to embrace, Lord, the brokenness the way you embraced it, Lord, Father, and we will learn how to be that light, that voice, of comfort, of truth, Lord Father, as you were, Lord Father. We pray that we will shine, Lord Father, and our actions will come from a deep understanding of the brokenness and despair found in this world, Lord. Not out of arrogance and pride, dear Lord, but from a place of humility, Lord, that this world needs you, that we need to be saved, dear Lord. So let us move, Lord, towards this world. Let us pray. Let us continue to believe, Lord. And let our hope be set on you, for you have won the victory, Lord. And we know how it ends, dear God. All this will pass away. And every good thing will remain, dear Lord. And we pray that we will look to you, that we will believe, Lord, in your kingdom, in your reign. You are the true King. And nothing, Lord, no darkness, no evil force, Lord, will ever be able, Lord, to stop you, Lord, from ruling over all kingdoms, all things, dear Lord. The enemy is so small compared to you, dear Lord. And let us behold your kingship, your lordship. Let us be filled with joy because you are the anointed one and you will defeat your enemies and you will reign in justice, in mercy, in kindness. We thank you, Father. Dear Lord, we want to praise you that we are as we are gathering as a church, and we just pray for the outpouring of the Spirit, even in our ministries, even in our gatherings, dear Lord, that you would stir that fire, that desire to pray, to serve, Lord, to seek, Lord, direction from you, dear Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord, Father, and stir us into action. We thank you, Father. Bless every person who's here. Keep us in your love, Lord, Father. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.